But when the relationship exists, when a leader is a champion, they find ways to incorporate the ERG perspective, to open doors for the groups, to bring the members and the key topics that the members are having into the conversation. So it's advocacy, it's champion, it's deeper level work that they are doing outside of ERG programs, not just showing up for the programs.
You are listening to the Culture Coach Podcast. This is the place where CEOs and people-first leaders come to boost productivity, extinguish burnout, and cultivate a vibrant culture that reflects a fully integrated mission, vision, and core values. Get ready to take your culture to the next level. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Hi, welcome back. How is everyone today? Here's a question. Are you familiar with employee resource groups or ERGs? You probably are. But whether you are or you aren't, if you're interested in building more of a sense of belonging in your organization, I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. If you're familiar with my Thrive Culture framework, you know that creating inspiring inclusivity and belonging is one of the six key pillars that allow organizations to own their role in employee burnout. And my guest today is an expert on the topic. Lola Adeyemo is just an incredible individual. She was born and raised in Nigeria and came to US as an adult, which you'll hear more about in the episode. She's the CEO and lead facilitator at EQI Mindset. It's a management consulting firm. She's also the executive director and founder of a nonprofit called Immigrants in Corporate Inc. It's a membership platform empowering immigrant professionals to thrive in corporate America. But wait, that's not all. Lola is also the co-founder and COO at an IT consulting firm, Sapient Logic, a rapidly growing government contracting firm with 21 full-time employees. Drawing from her almost two decades of experience across Fortune 250 global STEM companies, she partners with organizations to increase their business goals through employee engagement and retention, and scale their inclusion programs through business-aligned and optimized employee resource groups, or ERGs. She's a TEDx speaker and San Diego Equal Opportunity Commissioner, and her impact has been recognized through multiple awards, including 40 Under 40 recognitions and the 2024 Women in Business Awards. She hosts the Thriving in Intersectionality podcast and is the author of the award-winning book, Thriving in Intersectionality, Immigrants, Belonging, and Corporate America. I asked a lot of questions because I had a lot of questions about ERGs, and Lola did not disappoint. And if you're a small business owner and think the ERG topic is not for you, fear not. I asked questions about that too. I hope you enjoy. All right. Welcome back to the Culture Coach Podcast. I am so excited. I've got Lola Adeyemo with me today. Lola, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Wendy, and thank you for hosting this space.
Yes. Yes. Well, I'm excited. You know, my core being for this podcast really is to help organizations understand how they can create an environment for their employees to thrive. And I know that is in alignment with some of the work that you do. So I want to just dig right in and learn a little bit more about you, let the audience learn a little bit more about you, your businesses, and how you got here.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Wendy. So hi, everyone. My name is Lola. I am based in San Diego. And about me, I maybe starting from the fact that I went to school to be a biochemist. and I did my master's in biotech and worked primarily in the life science industry prior to becoming an entrepreneur full time. But before leaving corporate America, I did get involved, officially moved to the HR platform. It's called HR Culture and Council platform at my organization. And my journey, my term during my corporate America career term was really layered with my involvement and engagement with employee resource groups. And really, that's where I started the work. I started internally before I decided to make it the core of my business, which is EQI mindset. EQI mindset is from equity and inclusion mindset. And I felt like there was a gap between what leadership is thinking and wanting and planning and employees over here thinking and wanting and planning the same thing. And I definitely felt like there's a different model, there's a different way for us to try and bridge that gap to make sure that, you know, leadership is here, they care. I mean, they always want to make money. We can't separate that because we need money so that the company keeps staying afloat. But sometimes they do care about people. They just don't have the tools, the resources, the framework or language to help people. And it's unrealistic to expect every leader to know everything, meet the needs of every single person within an organization. So I think that's the power of groups, like the employee resource groups, business resource groups, is how do we bridge the gap so that inclusion and equitable practices are the norm within our organization. So that's what I do with EQI mindset.
Wonderful. I love that so much. And you're absolutely right. The gap between what leaders believe it is and what the people need. And so I was at a large tech company for a bit and that's how I first experienced the employee resource groups as well. And I've been at smaller companies and global companies, and in the consulting work I do now, I talk about one of my six pillars is inspiring inclusivity and belonging, because I just think it's such an important piece to creating that culture. Like you mentioned, everyone is different and leaders can't, you know, accommodate every single person. So I love the way that you have framed that. I hadn't really heard that before, that really the ERGs kind of help that. They bridge that gap for leaders.
It's I mean, I think it's similar to product development, right? Why do we do customer focus groups? Because we want to bring, I mean, you can't really say 100% you're meeting the needs of every customer, but you keep trying. You keep trying to hear the voice of the customer so that your products can keep being better to serve more people. So that's the way I think of ERGs too. It's like within your company, how are you leveraging the people you already have so that their voices help inform the culture of the organization?
What would you say is the biggest misconception that companies have about ERGs?
I think it's thinking these are just social fun clubs. Because if you think about it that way, then you're thinking of it as another expense. You're not understanding. It's not just another expense. Is the cost is already built in. These employees already work for you. You're already paying them. And if they're going above and beyond to help you navigate the voices of everybody else internally, is to shape your offerings and your culture. Right. So I think thinking of it as a fun group that we pump money into another expense, is a myth that you know, we need to get rid of that mindset first so that we can fully leverage these groups.
So tell me how you do work with organizations in helping to educate. I assume that's part of the work that you do is the value, and maybe bridging the gap between what leaders think it is and what employees need.
So I started this five-ish years ago, and I would say I've kind of evolved. I think the work itself, maybe that's the same thing for every consultant out there. It's like the work kind of feeds what you do, the more you hear. And I think the longest offering program I've had is a group for all cross-company ERGs. We call it All Things ERG every first Friday of the month for the last over 3 years, almost 4 years now. We're meeting virtually. These are ERG leaders, ERG managers, DEI leaders across different companies. And the subject of our conversation for 60 minutes is ERG. So we've created this space where now we have, you know, 500, 600 people over the last 4 years that have been attending. Some people have moved companies and then they go to another company, they join ERGs. So for me, that's the education part. You know, this meeting space is free to join, and we join and we talk about what's on your ERG's mind. What are you struggling with at your organization? And I, you know, I'm also doing my own research. I'm doing my own reading. I'm talking to leaders, and I'm taking all of this back to feed into my speaking. So I do a lot of speaking at HR and business conferences. I actually don't do as much speaking at DEI conferences because I'm like, I need to take the message to the people that need to hear.
Yeah.
So my goal is to get in front of these leadership teams and actually inform, educate, enlighten them about different things that they might be overlooking when it comes to employees. So I do a lot of speaking. I have workshops that I do with leadership teams. So closed door leadership team meetings, I'm coming there for a portion of their time. And this is for companies that are thinking of launching ERGs or are struggling with where their ERGs have ended. And they are kind of thinking through, how do we incorporate our groups into where the company is going?
Okay. Right.
So I have a belonging strategy session that I host with the leaders. And then the middle part is the one that has evolved over the years, which is for companies that the ERG started organically. So a couple of people came together. We want to start groups. So we put a stamp on it and say, hey, we have ERGs. And then we got everybody now raising up their hand saying, we want ERGs too. And then we keep saying yes. And now everything is chaos.
Yeah,
that's where I come in. So I do what I call fractional ERG management. I come in and I become that person between the DEI or HR leader, whoever is managing the groups, to take a look at everything and help develop the policies and programs and just a framework. We do a lot of focus group, have a lot of conversations and survey. We look at the employee engagement survey at the company, and we take a look and see, do we need a relaunch? Do we just need to provide development space? So that's a minimum of 6 months. But during that time, I'll be looking at all the data for the organization and helping to build a process that really supports these groups to go to their next developmental level.
Wonderful. What would you say is the biggest roadblock that that ERGs have to being successful in an organization?
I think... Well, biggest, I'll say two things because okay. I have to separate these two clearly. I think one of them is leadership support.
Yeah.
I think one of them is leadership support. And I think the other one is funding, but not in the way you think. Not because they are underfunded, but because they don't understand how to make the ask. Right. So a lot of times they're, we don't have any money, so we can't do anything. So if that's your starting point, you're missing the point. If you are able to position and package and partner your programs and your initiatives with different departments, you don't need to ask for funding, right? The organization will clearly see that value. Of course, it shouldn't be the ERGs doing this, because a lot of times these ERGs are volunteers. They are not people managers.
Right.
So there's that part of it, right? But I think the two things will be funding and leadership support.
Okay. I want to talk about each of those for a second. So the leadership support piece, what would you say the leader's role should be?
Yeah. So I think the leader starts from first the advocacy and champions. We support you. We get you. We're here for you. Right. But then it's not the leader's role to choose how you do what you do. So there's a reason why these groups are company supported, but employee driven. Right. The idea is the leaders will create the spaces, the safe spaces where these groups are able to merge and form and get creative. Right. But the leader has the power, has influence to make space for them. So I think leaders have a role around advocacy, around bringing these, embedding these conversations into their meeting, their closed door meetings. The ERG leaders are not necessarily in a lot of conversations, but when the relationship exists, when the leader is a champion, they find ways to incorporate the ERG perspective, to open doors for the groups, to bring the members and the key topics that the members are having into the conversation. So it's advocacy, it's champion, it's deeper level work that they are doing outside of ERG programs, not just showing up for the programs or
right.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. And then from the on the financial support side, what would you say ERGs typically use money for?
So a lot of programs, ERGs need money to bring speakers in. ERG needs money to provide light lunch for attendees for the programs. But if you think about that, in the large scheme of things, the money to bring a speaker or the money to buy snacks or lunch for people during programs, it's not a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll use as an example. There's a company that I worked for. They had about 5 ERGs. And one of them is the disability ERGs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, disability ERGs are the model where they are not about programming. They have a few core leadership team members and they attend the meetings of the other ERGs and look for opportunities to identify things. So there's money, but the disability ERGs didn't need money for programs. They were using their funding to form partnerships around accommodation. Mm. Around, you know, they were working closely with the recruiting team around access and yeah. services. And so you couldn't say their funds was used for program, but you also couldn't yeah. say their funds was not useful. I mean, they were yeah. exhausting their funds at the end of the year. Now, yeah. there were other ARGs who, the same company, our goal is to make this organization, this company, this site more accommodating of people with different levels of abilities, right? So we will fund that. We will fund conferences. They send their leaders to conferences
yeah.
around disability, right? So this was very, but okay. they exhausted their funds at the end of yeah. the year. Their ERGs, where their focus is on retaining people of color within the organization. Mm. So as you can imagine, they did more programs that were more, let's attract people, let's get them to attend, let's get people to show up, let's have conversations, let's yeah. build a buddy system. So they had more lunches,
yeah.
but there was a bigger goal.
Yes.
So I think it could be a combination of one, it could be more, but that's where people miss it. It's just because one ERG is doing that, one thing doesn't mean the other ERG has to, and everybody needs to have a clear picture of how all of this ties to the company goal.
Yeah. Wonderful. I think that these are both great things for leaders on that are listening that have maybe been asked to help support an ERG, you know, or maybe want to help support an ERG. So I think this is great information. Thank you. Another question, just because it's an experience that I had working in an organization, 50,000 employees, but 500 different
sites.
Yes. So how can you build, how do you handle ERGs in that type of a dispersed environment?
Yeah, and I also hear that a lot, because when I started Discovery Call, that's the layers I try to help them peel, because most times they're like, oh, we have 10 ERGs. I'm like, okay, is that 10 across the company?
Right.
And where are those ERGs located? Because it then becomes tricky. And it's also why I don't get involved with we pay our ERGs. You know, when a lot of companies are start coming out and say, oh, we pay our ERGs. Who do you pay?
Oh, right.
Are you paying the big chapter leads that sit in HQ? What about the real site leads that are doing the work, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to kind of break down. But those are all the things we talk about when we're building, doing a relaunch, doing the fractional ERG management piece is, depending on the size of the organization, sometimes it's we have recognized 5 ERGs at our organization, and then we have a global structure.
Mm.
And then each site doesn't have to have 5. Some
right.
sites can have just 2. Some sites can choose, we only want 1 of these 5. And we would make sure that, you know, we are still meeting the needs and supporting everybody. Ideally, what should happen is when you say we have 5, all your sites should have 5. That's not realistic. When we start
yeah.
talking about companies that have thousands of employees and multiple locations, if you do have people that raise up their hand that they want to, then absolutely. What becomes tricky is when organizations start to take charge of that
right.
ERG leadership and say, we have 5 ERGs, so now we're going to force you to stand up 5 ERGs at this
right.
site. What if that site is not ready
yeah.
for
yeah.
those 5 ERGs, right? The site level has to make a determination for which ones do we need, which ones
yeah.
are we ready for, and then get employees to volunteer to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever experienced someone pushing back on the ERG idea, fearful of unions?
Actually, I haven't had an experience or with a client that has unions, but I've heard that it's not the same thing as unions. ERG is not the same as unions, but it could get very tricky if it's an organization that is heavily unionized. There has to be a need that the groups are feeling that you think the union is not feeling, which most times they are not, right? Yeah. But you as an organization have to make that determination that we're trying to improve our culture. We're trying to make sure our people are more engaged. Unions might not necessarily be focused on that.
Right.
Right. Right. So you have to be clear that we have unions. This is the role. This is what's happening. And then we want to establish groups. And this is be very clear. In those kind of places, you can't have ERG starting organically.
Yeah.
It has to be something that is, you know, very like people are able to ask questions, everything is clear and open. And then they establish one or two groups as needed. Not just following the trend of everybody's having 10 ERGs, we're going to launch 10 ERGs.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I have one more ERG question. I know we've got, you have just a wealth of other information and I'm just drilling
in. That's my favorite topic.
Yeah. Good. Good. Smaller companies. Let's maybe forget about ERG for a minute, but if it's a small company with 20 employees, how can we help them really ensure that there is a sense of belonging in the organization and inclusivity?
Yeah, that's funny that you asked that because I think it would segue into my other company because we have 21 employees.
Okay.
And, you know, and our business admin is always a little more excited to try and do stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, okay, slow down. But I will link it when I'm talking about that. But I typically try and most of my clients have at least 200 employees.
Okay.
So I've seen and spoken at companies where they have small sites. I had an organization that had 120 employees and they had like 10 ERGs. Personally felt like that was too much.
That's a lot. Yeah.
That's a lot. I don't see the value in trying to start 10 ERGs just to say you have 10 ERGs.
Right. Yeah.
If you have 120 employees, have you thoughtfully determined what you need?
Yeah.
What you need could be a single group, whatever you call it, cross-cultural or our culture champions, right?
Like,
forget about a name for a minute. How many people do we have? What does our survey say? What are people looking for? Are we going to be growing fast in the next couple of, like, what is the problem you're trying to solve for? And then walk backwards.
Yeah.
Honestly, before you get to, I don't know, 200, 300, a couple of hundreds, you don't need a bunch of ERGs. You could start with a couple of groups.
Okay. So what I've recommended for, and I know it's not the same as ERG, but I still think about in a small company with 20 employees, mm-hmm. I've just recommended things that allow people to get to know each other better on a deeper level. Even things like DISC or the Strength Finders, things
exactly.
that allow you to look at the uniqueness of the individuals and get to know that uniqueness.
Outside of their role.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. That's it. I like that. I think that's a good way to put it. Is we want people to get from behind their desk and their role to know each other a little bit more. And so to kind of piggyback and put that into my company that we have. So most of our employees are engineers.
Okay.
At customer sites. So we have the contracts model where we employ, all our employees are full-time, fully benefited. We do payroll, they have medical and everything, right? But they are working on different contracts. We have like, you know, all of them splits evenly between three different customers and locations. But we have a co-working space where we have an office. And so I will be there. Our business admin is there. The sales contracts person is there. And then what we do is monthly events.
Okay.
Because then our employees get to come to together, get to know each other outside of the email chain. And each monthly event is different. Sometimes we have lunch. We've had a beach volleyball. We've had a happy hour. Right. And then at the end of the year, we have a main end of year dinner where everybody brings their spouse. If you're married, so the idea is get to know each other outside of the emails so that you feel like you're part of this company, even though you're working with a different customer. We are responsible for you. We are your employer. So how do we make sure that you know that you feel that? And you feel like, you know, we've got your back and, you know, even with the customer. So we try to do those monthly things in a way to make sure they know each other, but then they also can feel like a part of the company.
I love that. So, and then let's talk about, you have a business also that is related to immigrant professionals.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I think until recently, I was kind of keeping the two separate. But then when I realized this, it's like the different sides of the same coin. Mm. So when I started my work with ERGs, before I started as an entrepreneur, when I started being involved with ERGs at corporate organizations, I felt like initially I was always being put in the black box. You know, the black, you know, if you're doing anything around inclusivity, everybody expects you to be an expert.
Yeah.
On racism in America. But for me, I was born and raised in Nigeria.
Mm.
I came to the US as an adult. So I'm very much Nigerian.
Yeah.
And I'm a growing and a learning American, right? So, and I realized pretty quickly in corporate America, like then there's certain things I was supposed to know because I'm a black person that I didn't know. And so people just assumed I knew.
Yeah.
So I had to, you know, for me, I grew up in a country where gender inequity was the issue, was one of the issues that I struggled with growing up, was, you know, the expectation for girls. And so I had to be comfortable that, you know what, I'm more passionate about the women ERG. This is the space where I really feel belonging right now. And then I started to talk to other immigrants. And it was similar. I felt more connected to immigrants from different continents than I felt with, you know, other black people.
Yeah.
Because again, what we had in common was stronger and more impactful for me. And so that led me on this journey to like explore the experiences of immigrants in corporate America. And I did a research in 2020 that ended up publishing as a book on immigrants belonging and corporate America. It was supposed to be a doctoral research. And then my business doctorate said, that's not a business issue. So I published this as a book. But one of the things that emerged from my research for the book was that the biggest chapter was communication. I interviewed over 50 immigrant women who work in corporate America. And the number one thing that came up was communication struggles.
Wow.
And not just speaking, but also writing, also listening to other people, also expressing their wishes within the organization or understanding what their manager is saying. And so communication ended up being what I used for my dissertation, because it's actually a business issue that organizations struggle with all the time.
Yeah.
And so the immigrant experience in corporate America, a little different, a lot of invisible barriers, but it was also very eye-opening in terms of intersectionality, which is the title of my book, is Thriving in Intersectionality. And so I started a nonprofit called Immigrants Incorporate, Inc., in 2022, and it's a community-based platform. I talked to a couple of companies around, why don't you have ERGs for immigrants? And, you know, it's like, okay, corporate America might not be ready for that, but there are lots of immigrants in the corporate workplace that are struggling with these invisible barriers.
Mm-hmm.
What next? How can we support each other? So the nonprofit was established, it's a 501c3 nonprofit, established free space for immigrants to join. And the idea is, it's a professional development organization. So we're focused on, you know, what conferences should you be attending? What certifications are relevant to you? How do you transition your career? How do you navigate with a manager in corporate America? How do you negotiate your salary? So it's the same topics, but now we're speaking it in context for immigrants. And that has really, so I feel like it's part of, you know, ERG mini communities within companies, and Immigrants Incorporate is a community for immigrant professionals, but we're all trying to do the same thing.
Yes.
You know, educate, help people feel belonging and seen and heard.
And I think that you also had some experience with organizations that are scaling and keeping that inclusivity intact. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I think, you know, part of, we've been talking about company sizes.
Yeah.
And I think part of what gets lost is actually think you're onto something. I feel like culture is something that we will continue to use, no matter how anti buzzword phrases we get. You know, even now we're starting to be anti inclusion. I don't know what's going on. But I think people keep coming back to culture, you know, and culture is part of the issue as you're scaling, as you're hiring more people, as you're being acquired. So that was, and it's still very big with companies, right? You acquired multiple organizations, each organization had their own culture. How are you intentionally blending those things to create the new space? And to, it starts from the people first, right? Are you understanding what your demographic looks like, right? If you're trying to serve for, I don't know, recruiting, when you have diversity, they are just not growing. They are not feeling like they want to stay. So they're leaving. It's just like a leaky basket. You're hiring, so they leave.
Yes.
You know, you need to solve for what the issues are at your own organization. And that becomes very important when you're growing or getting acquired or merging with other companies.
Yeah. This has been a great conversation. What have I left out? What have I missed that you want to tackle?
I think the only thing I will add on to that is just also being mindful that people are in seasons in life, because I think a lot of times we think we've done the work and we're good. Why are they asking for something else? An example I always use is myself. I became a mom at 29 and I was working in corporate America. And I'm like, I didn't know anything. You know, my company said, go pump in the bathroom. Mm. I was just grateful that I could pump, right?
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, still career driven, but maybe I have something going on this season of my life and my focus was different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still the career development focus, but I started looking for more in terms of accommodation. I started looking for more conversations with the accommodations team, right? The disabilities ERG. I started talking to them more on what do you guys actually do? Is there an opportunity for you guys to support me here? Because what is right? What is, you know, what is the expectation for companies? So I think also for companies to be aware, and it's also why you can, it's not a one and done thing.
Right.
It's a journey. When it comes to culture, when it comes to, you know, inclusive workplaces, how are you continuing to keep your finger on that pulse, right? Because if you can't support your employees during the season of their life, regardless of what that season is, why should they be committed to you?
Yes, that's so well put. And with all of the multi-generations that we have in one workplace, I think that's so important. I agree. Wonderful, Lola. Well, this has just been a great conversation. I love all the work that you're doing. How can my listeners find you if they want to get in touch or get your book? Where's the best place to find everything?
LinkedIn is where I always hang out. Okay. Wendy and I were talking for a few minutes before we started. I'm like, there's a ton of stuff out there, but LinkedIn is my space. Easy to connect with me. I love having, you know, 15 minutes coffee chat with people if anybody wants to chat. But I also have a couple of programs. One is for the ERGs every month. And then I have a roundtable called Businesses and Belonging. So it's really for HR leaders, DEI leaders, people that are responsible for people decisions, essentially. I'd love to hear feedback, find me on LinkedIn, and let's have a conversation.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Wendy. It was great talking to you.
What a great episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to connect with Lola, go find her on LinkedIn. Her name is Lola Adeyemo, LolaAdeyemo. I'll put that link in the show notes. If you haven't connected with me yet, I also spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, so let's connect and stay tuned for another episode next week. Thanks so much.